Gamecock fans, today is Tuesday, February 24th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well today on a terrible Tuesday. Got some guests coming in. Back to the 4 hour super stream today on the show after yesterday's combo show. Guests coming in with Jamie today, the voice of champions, Brad Muller. Talk a little softball, women's basketball, and the ladies have a shot at clinching the outright SEC title. They've already clinched their fifth straight regular season, or at least a share of it. So we'll see if they can do that against Missouri on Thursday night. That tip is at 8 p.m. on SEC Network at the Colonial Life Arena. Gamecock men are back in action tonight, 7 p.m. tip-off against Kentucky. Kentucky's had problems in that arena since it's been open. Kentucky needs a win. Kentucky has not been playing well. They have not played up to their potential. They allegedly have a $22 million payroll. That number's been passed along by more than one credible person. But man, you pay $22 million, you're at Kentucky, the Roman Empire of college basketball, according to their former coach, Rick Pitino, and you're 17 and 10. I'm telling you, folks, sometimes it's not all about that. But apparently, you do need more and more to compete these days. So, not going to stick my head in the sand and be, I take an ostrich approach to that topic because there is a reality out there. But my goodness, 17 and 10. And then they're going to blame Mark Pope for it. It's unbelievable. But anyway, it'd be nice for the Gamecocks to knock them off. I think any time in men's basketball when you can beat the University of Kentucky and you're an SEC member, it doesn't matter how they are or how you are, it's a good deal. It's like beating Alabama in football or LSU in baseball. So that's one of those things where, go get them. See if you can shoot your shot and do it. I think if the Gamecocks are obviously hitting and Kentucky is not on tonight and Carolina is shooting the ball well, and they play a little defense. You got to play defense, at least compete on defense. Don't let them just destroy you. Then there's a shot. I do wonder how many Kentucky fans will be in the stands. They always bring a crowd to every arena, and certainly with the way things have gone this year, there's probably plenty of tickets available. But we'll see who gets out there. That tip is at 7 p.m. But Brad Muller will talk about all that. Also, Preston Thorne is in on the morning show today, former Gamecock defensive tackle. He's had a lot to say lately about basketball and football, the various sports. You can catch him on 107.5 The Game as well. Mad Dog and I will be right behind that with Terrible Tuesday. We'll talk about a number of topics, including things from the chat box. Sometimes on the show, because coffee is football oriented, we'll get into more basketball and baseball. And that's the way it's been going lately. Appreciate Matt Smith dropping by and hanging out with JB and Phil and I for 2 hours yesterday. That was a great conversation. Got a little talk in about Spartanburg, which is awesome. You can catch that on our podcast channel, Inside the Gamecock Show and Pod Chosen Podcast. It's a new channel. We've had it since January, since the changeover from 24/7 sports, and the numbers have been back. So you guys obviously like the products. I appreciate that. But go subscribe on Apple Podcast or add it to your list on Spotify, and that's where this podcast is as well, each and every day. So the NCAA, I wanted to talk about this briefly. We'll dive more into this on the show, and if I have anything else to say about it, I just so. The tampering thing, we know Dabo Swinney did what he did, and he had every right to do that. And I think he was absolutely correct. And again, we live in a world where even allegedly intelligent, educated people seem to lack context with things. And the NCAA is notorious for it. You need them to fix your tire, you need them to patch your tire. And they're giving you four new ones and replacing your CV joints and taking your engine out. And I mean, it's unbelievable. What I think they need to do is send a message. Since you have proof there, you need to penalize Ole Miss for doing it. Now maybe there is something that a lot of other schools would get in trouble if that was the case. Well, you penalize them, make the penalties hurt. Obviously, schools are going into debt for all this, and the fine isn't going to hurt them. It's going to hurt their bottom line, but it's not going to prevent them from going and winning football games, which is the bottom line. You need to make these penalties hurt. You need to take their coach, suspend him for a few games, suspend him for the whole year. Yeah, you need to make these penalties stick, and don't do this anymore. When SMU got the death penalty in football for rules violations, it all, I don't, I'm not going to say it cleaned it up completely, but it was less blatant, sort of went underground a bit. And so if you're going to have any teeth, you got to have teeth. But it's the NCAA, and they're not going to. It's just they're feckless. And the most hilarious part, and this is a great report from Ross Dellinger, who's excellent at what he does as far as keeping everyone up to date on exactly what is happening with NCAA, the College Sports Commission, whatever. So said, we have instructed Jeffrey Mearns, M-E-M-E-A-R, Mearns, the president of Ball State University, and the chair of the D1 infractions process committee to look at how we can streamline this and blah, 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 blah. In other words, we're gonna make it easier for us to come get you. And I'm like, oh my God. Everybody, they called Jeffrey Mearns, the president of Ball State. And that's a big problem in the NCAA too. You have people up there making decisions that don't live in this world at all. And if they start coming, and part of the reading of the rule is this is important, and here in the morning I forgot it, but to mention this, but it part of it includes agents talking to other schools while their kids are still enrolled in other schools. If you can police that, I'm all for it. I think that's trash when you're shopping a kid around to another school while they're still playing for another a school, their school. Many times without the player even knowing, right? Many, many times without the player even knowing. And if you could police that, great. A big article about street agents taking 20% and stuff like that and on ESPN.com this week. I don't think you can, because with the way it's gone through the courts don't see it as cheating in a sport. They're looking at it from an antitrust standpoint or a limiting of financial opportunity standpoint. And in our system, you don't do that. There's a lot of collision there. And then there's some courts that just they're like, yeah, go Roll Tide. Let's do it. That do it like that locally. But so I don't think you can police that. Especially without like a collective bargaining agreement where everyone agrees, where you can police it is on the conference level, not the national level, because your argument in the courts becomes different when you're talking about a national organization that's basically conspiring to apply uniform limitations to players, as far as getting compensation, which is where all these roads lead to. Then that gets into antitrust. Conferences are, well, some of them are national, right? But conferences are voluntary. There's other conferences. If you have different rules and different standards for the conferences, you just don't play in that conference if you don't like it. It's all voluntary. Same thing with the schools, the memberships. If Tennessee doesn't want to play by the rules, then bye. Go to the ACC, will gladly take you. They're not going to change their rules, probably. Maybe they will. But that's where it's got to be policed, not by old Jeff, the president of Ball State, getting his committee streamlined. Jeez. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that. And look, if you start cracking down on agents talking to schools before their players get in the portal, then everybody's going to be in trouble, just to be honest. I mean, that when that becomes common practice, and it has, then, and that's everywhere. It's not just limited to Ole Miss and LSU. Now, what Ole Miss did was the kid was already taking classes and part of the program, and they plucked him. That's wrong. That's, it's the same thing technically, but they really. That crossed a lot of lines. And you know, when you do that, it crosses. And there's a lot of stuff like that that went on this past time. So, you know, if the NCAA wanted to crack down on something, crack down on that by punishing the people that they're the egregious. You know, every time a kid enrolls somewhere, then leaves right away, you need to investigate that thoroughly. And if you don't get the answer to your liking, you need to punish the schools. Don't activate the president of Ball State and think we're fixing things. So anyway, I had to get all that off my chest this morning. That was crazy. By the way, it's gonna be kind of a short episode today. I've got to go on. I think I'm going on with Cole Kublick today in Alabama to talk about the Gamecocks on his show, and then got to get that newsletter out. By the way, you can subscribe to the ITG.com or ITG newsletter. It's about 5% of what we're gonna have on the site when we get that launched. And just be patient. You know, we've got that working. There's a lot of moving parts as far as getting something like that going. But once we get it going, I'm very excited about the opportunity in whatever form it is in. But for now, the newsletter is a great way to get a little sampling of everything. Had some Jacarius Peake stuff, some big picture football stuff. Jamie Bradford puts out a baseball and softball bulletin. It's like an insider report every week. You know, we've got a lot of stuff in the newsletter. Comes out once a day, then some breaking news and some special stuff. So one to three times a day. It's not going to spam your inbox, but go to insidethegamecocks.com. That's insidethegamecocks.com. It's real simple. It's got some information about the site and what's going to happen. And then you scroll down and just put in your email and you're on the list. And we appreciate the hundreds, almost thousand or so people that have signed up since we got that web address up and running on Saturday. So thank you very much, Gamecock fans. It's an honor and a privilege to still serve you with Gamecock talk and information. So I'll talk a little about linebackers today. Now, as you all know, I was pretty bullish on the linebackers last year, even though they had lost Debo Williams and Demetrius Knight. I thought from a talent standpoint, they could upgrade. I thought that at times last year, they looked pretty good. I thought at times, maybe not. And, you know, kind of like a lot of things in that first game against Virginia Tech, I was like, well, Fred Johnson could be all SEC. boy, because I was president of the Fred Johnson fan club. And Fred had a good year. Fred had some youthful moments. Fred had some inconsistencies, but I thought he had a good year. Fred J.R. Johnson, Fred Johnson, you know, he goes by J.R. sometimes too. I think it's vitally important this season for him to take that step forward with consistency. When you have inconsistent linebackers, what that normally is guys taking false steps, guys not reading their keys, guys getting out of position. That's why sometimes you'll see a guy at linebacker that starts and plays a whole lot that's, you know, couldn't beat an offensive lineman in a foot race in a straight line, but they move quite well laterally and they don't take false steps. They know exactly where to go, exactly where to be. They're instinctive. That's the nature of that position. Now, Fred doesn't have athletic problems. He's 242 pounds and runs 4.5. And we've seen what he can do when he gets those keys read and gets in the flow of things. Imagine if he could do what he did, play like he did against Virginia Tech. Boy, like that interception, man, he sprinted back there. And he's 242 pounds. Oh, that was a good day. That was probably the best day of the season right there. Good Lord. But man, oh man, you know, if he can just play that consistent, he can have a big time year, in my opinion. He's going into his third season, second year as a starter. I think that's a guy to definitely keep an eye on. I've mentioned Sean Murphy many times about how much better he played. I was, like I said, was not impressed, you know, at the start of the year. About the last six games, he really came on. You know, Sean Murphy on defense and Jaden Sellers on offense were really two guys second half of the year that really stepped up. There are others too, you know, like Troy Pikes. We mentioned Troy Pikes the other day in our conversation with Deputy Smitty. And, yeah, I thought down he got better and better as well. And we're talking individuals. I know that sometimes when you lose, it doesn't, you don't think about all that, but it's February 24th. That's far enough in the rearview mirror to where we can start admitting that, well, some of these guys played okay, down the stretch. Some did not. Sean Murphy was one of them, though. I think that when you look at Sean's journey, Alabama, he was behind some guys. Then he goes to Florida State. It's a new day. He's going to start. He gets hurt, doesn't come back till the end. They kind of was getting back in the swing of things at South Carolina. I think the key with Sean Murphy is to continue to play physical. When he plays physical, when he, you're going to use a Muschampism here, sticks his face in the fan and likes it and gets aggressive, he can play. It's when he doesn't, or he misses a tackle, or doesn't get fundamentally right. Like he missed a tackle against A&M that was critical. Which is okay. You're not gonna make, you're gonna have some missed tackles every now and then. That's when he gets off track. So there's Sean Murphy, and then Justin Onkelronquo, Justin O, I thought flashed more consistently than anyone else. And trust me, there were some, speaking of the transfer portal and all that, there were some conversations about him. Let's just say that outside of the Rice football building, across college football this past year, from Germany, still somewhat new to the game, but boy, you could just tell the physicality and the speed and the instincts, the natural ability he has. And this guy, I think could be a breakout player, for the Gamecocks this coming season. He was expected to be a bit raw as a redshirt freshman last year, and he was. But he flashed and played well. Again, just like with Fred Johnson, it was consistency. Like, if you look at it down the stretch, Murphy was actually the most consistent in my eyes. The other two were young and talented and up and down. So maybe my hope and I'll admit when I'm off base, I was a little off about just how good these guys could be this coming or this last season, as young as they were. But I do think the talent's there. So I think those three, that's a heck of a nucleus. They only start two and play two at a time most of the time in Clayton White's scheme. So I think that's, if Justin and Fred or if it's Sean, whoever's out there, there's really three starters. And Clayton White said this as well. I think that's going to be a group. The D tackles and all that have to play and help the linebackers, as we all know. But if they can get to that consistent level, I think they can be good. We were talking to, I mentioned Deputy Smitty the other day, big fan of his, love to have him on the show. And he mentioned he's concerned about the linebackers. I don't blame him because if you just kind of look at some of the times where they struggled or got out of position or, things like that, it looks bad. And you've got that. That happens, man. You'll have a linebacker that's pretty doggone good that looks like he's running in quicksand, slow, can't play dead in a movie, because he's out of position. And that's hard. And you got to get that down and, all that good stuff. Carolina had, two really good blue collar defensive tackles up there helping. And I think they did help, but I don't know that you have TJ Sanders up there, right? And all that. And then if you remember Debo Williams, Debo, by the time he was a senior, everything was second nature to him. And he would go in there and, make things happen in the box, inside the box. And you had D. Knight and Bam Martin Scott. So just a younger group. So I agree with Smitty. I think if you just look at last season and you say, well, who played well, who didn't, and linebackers were probably the most inconsistent part of the defense as a whole. I know some people will say safety. That's fair. I'll say safety too. But if you're going like the three levels, front, line, backers, and then the secondary, and you include the corners, the secondary as a whole played pretty well, I thought. Safety itself, maybe not. Maybe not so much. But hopefully there's some answers there this year. Like we talked about last week, Clayton White needs to find some answers. And we'll talk about what and other answers they need to find on defense in the Wednesday episode of Coffee. I've already, unless something pops up in the press conference we need to address, then it'll probably be Thursday. But we went through offensive, actually, we already went through defensive answers. We're going to talk about offensive answers coming up for Kendall Briles and his group. Kind of wasn't ready to do that with the peak injury information, and curious to see how Beamer addresses it today. Certainly very newsy situation over the weekend. But linebackers, those three are the key for that position. They're the straws that stir the drink, I hope. And I think it's logical and possible. It's more than just hope. I think this can I hope this could be a big strength for the Gamecocks defense this coming season. She's gonna have to play defense too. I mean, even if the offense is really good, with the new scheme and system and all that good stuff, then yeah, you still got to stop people. Of course, Ole Miss's defense wasn't super duper last year. I think they overachieved in a lot of ways. They weren't super duper, and Ole Miss was a play away from playing for the national championship. So I don't know. Maybe you can get by. I think that was the thought about the 2025 Gamecocks, is they would be really good with Sellers on offense, and that the defense, would be, the offense would have to carry them. That's what everyone said. I didn't personally say that. I'd always kind of say I thought the defense was going to be fine and good, and they were. So that's one thing I was right about. I was wrong about saying that the offense would be explosive and all that good stuff. I was just looking at personnel, folks. And it was explosive when they did things that made sense and could block, but those times were few and far between. So who else at linebacker? A lot of youth behind the top three. A lot of youth, a lot of youth. Donovan Darden, a player that played in 10 games last year on special teams. According to my feedback, he's probably not a guy that's ready to go in and start in his second year, but he's a player that they like. He's another big linebacker, 6'4", 240. They've got to replace Jerron Willis, who was the fourth one. Jerron Willis really didn't get that many snaps. Now, Jerron made some plays. I mean, he picked up a fumble and scored a touchdown in a game this year when he was in, but they basically played three the whole year. And they did it the previous year too. Kamara was sort of that fourth guy and wasn't getting a ton of snaps until he transferred. He was getting more than Willis did. But then they basically just played, it's kind of the same thing. They played Knight, Martin Scott, and Williams, and then Fred Johnson would come in every now and then. And then last year, it was Willis in that fourth role. He's off to Kansas, ironically, where Kamara went. Wish him the best. I think his experience in South Carolina, Jerron Willis's, was good, because he wasn't really playing at Ole Miss and comes to Carolina, really didn't play a whole lot, but worked his way up and got better. I think he got better as a player. I expect him to make some plays out at Kansas this year. But he was looking for playing time. So would Darden be the fourth guy? I don't know that I would just pencil him in right now. They're going to have to compete. They like AJ Holloway from Buford, Georgia, quite a bit. Also, Josh Smith. Josh Smith, I got a gut feeling about him. He's from Dutch Fork. Played edge at Dutch Fork in high school, and then kind of made the transition to linebacker. I dig him. I think he's a good instinctive player. And then they've got Kenny Britt coming in. Kenny Britt's brother. I guess Kenny Britt's Keenan Britt. Good Lord, JC. From Oxford, Alabama. They like him quite a bit, 6'2", 230. And then Andrew Harris, Aiden's brother, is probably going to play linebacker, could also be an edge. He's 6'2", 235. And so that's it. The group that came in the 2025 class, we've been talking a lot about 2025 class recently. I don't want to dive into that. That's going to be the key as far as depth goes at linebacker. And then they're in on for 2027. It's another kind of like linebacker year. I think they'll target plenty in the high school ranks and the portal. But Tayshaun Austin obviously left. He was a guy that came in, was going to play linebacker out of North Carolina. Didn't really seem like he was going to factor into the plans. But, AJ Holloway, Josh Smith, Donovan Darden, that's going to be a nice battle for that fourth spot. What I've been told is a lot of good talk about Josh Smith's instincts as a football player. That's why they liked him. They flipped him from Coastal. He's just too good of a football player to not take. And from right here in South Carolina, they really like that. As far as Holloway goes, high floor guy. He's up to 243 pounds. He's that inside the box guy, physical player, good tackler. And then, of course, Darden is kind of the big freak. Obviously played some edge. He's out of Havelock, home of Faro Cooper, Corey Robinson, Havelock, North Carolina. He's 6'4", 235, and a guy that played linebacker, showed he could do it playing space in the Shrine Bowl, played a lot of special teams last year. I think he's going to get there in time. I just, when I was kind of checking around on some things, I just kind of picked up that, well, it may not be him. He's, don't just assume because he's got all the tools and the size and all that, that he'll be the guy. They're all three good, in different ways. And, he may just need another year or two to kind of get on the field a bunch. And that's heading into spring. Now, guys change and we'll see what happens. I mean, Darden's got a lot of talent and certainly, did not realize that he had played in that many games on special teams last year, but now that I think about it, he was out there on the field, so that's good. So overall, linebackers next year, this is a position to watch. I mean, you guys know I'm very high on Johnson and Uncle Ronquo, and I've warmed to Murphy, and I'm high on this group yet again this year. Don't just take my word for it. Keep an eye on it, because the key here is going to be how much more consistent can they get. And can Sean Murphy stay consistent? And that's going to be directly correlated as to how good they will be at that position in 2026. So you're saying there's a chance. There is a chance right there. All right, don't forget the morning show coming up with Brad Muller, the voice of champions. Also Preston Thorne. Terrible Tuesday on the show. Terrible Tuesday except for tacos is what we like to say. Phil and I'll be mixing it up. Going to dive in more to this NCAA stuff. Oh my God, I can't believe they called the Ball State president on these agents. Clueless. Gamecock basketball tonight against Kentucky. Baseball back in action tomorrow night against Queens. We will talk about all that. Don't forget insidethegamecocks.com to sign up for the newsletter. And this is JC Sherbert and Coffee. I am out. Holla.